Blog Talk Radio.
Still not confident about which used car to buy?
Nope.
Why not ask the most confident person you know?
My old high school coach. This one's got talent, toughness, the will to win.
Let me coach you on this. Just say, show me the Carfax value. You'll get the most accurate price based on the vehicle's accident history. Look for me and stop overpaying. Shop at the all-new Carfax.com.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to some service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J. You are now tuned into News Forum, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia, with host and anchor, investigative reporter, Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, better known as the Queen of Justice.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go!
Wait, I don't think y'all ready for this.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go! Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go! Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go!
Hey everybody, this is your girl, Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, aka Chinchilla J, and yes, I am the Queen of Justice. Do you think the United States is wrong in their support to Israel by continuously supplying weapons? Who is the cause of this war? Why is this war happening? And who is to benefit from such a catastrophe, such a catastrophic event of thousands and thousands of lives being lost, including children, babies, and women, all civilians? Thousands dead, and the war continues with no shame, with no regard to human life. Wars and rumors of wars. The never-ending war on crime, from politics to drugs, gun violence to gun control, wrongful imprisonment to death by incarceration, human rights to human trafficking, to territorial turf. When will it end? Tonight is Sunday, December 10th, 2023, the second Sunday in the 12th and final month of the year. We have three more Sundays in 2023. Tonight on News Forum, planetary abuse, misuse, and destruction. It's time for regeneration and reparations. tonight we will evaluate the global crises and trauma of racism, recidivism, economic centrism, disparities, and inequities, and how the FDA, the USDA, the CDC, and food, drugs, alcohol, and agriculture play a role in all of this. My special guest, renowned strategist, educator, and innovator, Emily Riley. Also, tonight on News Forum, from bench warrants to foreclosures, to public safety, to community engagement, the office of the sheriff. Tonight, you will meet Philadelphia's first female sheriff, who just happens to be black. She took office in 2020 and has been re-elected to the office of sheriff. My special guest, social justice warrior, criminal justice reform advocate, former NAACP secretary, Guardian Civic League president, and a 27-year police veteran, Madam Sheriff Rochelle Bilal. And last, but definitely not least, cries of innocence from behind prison walls, where you will hear wrongfully incarcerated individuals calling in tonight live from prison to give updates on their cases as well as current prison conditions and the death toll of inmates who have died in prison where they are housed tonight. And to my listeners, I also want to hear from you tonight. How can I hear from you? Well, if you tuned in tonight via cell phone or landline, press 1 and you will be placed into the caller's queue. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web, you must dial in at 516-453-9133 to talk live on the air with me. And don't forget, if you would like to donate to Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition, please do so. As a matter of fact, do so while we're on air tonight. Okay? How can you donate? Well, it's very easy if you have Cash App. The Cash App is $BAVoice. That's $B as in boy, E as in Edward, A as in apple, B as in Victor, O as in Oscar, I as in ice, C as in Charlie, and E as in Edward, T as in Tom, O as in Oscar, U as in you, and R as in Robert. Be a voice. Or you may donate via Venmo. The Venmo account is at BeAVoice. That's at BeAVoice. And if for some reason you have trouble donating via Cash App, inbox me, Chinchilla Jonesia. Chinchilla is with one L. That is Chinchilla Jonesia, my first and last name, with a space in between. Inbox me on Facebook, or you may contact me Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378, extension 888. If you inbox me on Facebook, inbox me your Cash App, your Cash Tag, and the amount you would like to donate. To be a voice and right the wrong coalition so that we may continue our advocacy work, fighting for the wrongfully incarcerated, speaking truth to power, and exposing injustices in America and beyond. And if you have a business, you can become a sponsor of Be a Voice and Right the Wrong Coalition. But for now, don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with your girl. We'll be right back after this. Help Be a Voice continue their advocacy work to free the wrongfully incarcerated, to end mass incarceration, and child life without the possibility of parole. For more information, contact Be a Voice at 844-642-8378, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m., extension 111. Be a Voice today. Thank you to my millions of listeners worldwide. News Forum with the girl Chinchilla J now has over 24 million listeners. News Forum is a syndicated radio program which broadcasts every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To tune in and listen to News Forum, you must dial 516-453-9133. And if you would like to talk, comment, or vent, or ask a question to me or one of my guests, just press 1 and you will be placed into the caller's queue. You may also tune into News Forum via the World Wide Web at www.blogtalkradio.com. News Forum with Chinchilla J. News Forum is a product of the ONE Dynasty and Ngozi Time Multimedia. WBNN, we are Beverly Nation. While we believe in freedom of speech and uncensorship, News Forum, however, asks you to please refrain from the use of profanity. And while our views may differ in opinions, we agree to disagree. And all opinions and viewpoints are welcomed and acknowledged. News Forum can also be a very controversial program most times, but it brings truth and exposure of injustices that black and brown people face every single day in this country we call the United States of America, which to me is totally divided, not united at all. And my views are not necessarily the views of WBNN. But again, all views, viewpoints, and opinions are welcome. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And again, invite someone to tune in tonight because it may just be what they need to hear.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's go!
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. The host, the anchor, the investigative reporter, none other than the Queen of Justice herself, the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla. Yay! All right. Hey, hey, everybody. Good evening and welcome to another segment of News Forum. And it is just crazy, everybody, how this year is quickly coming to an end. And it's like really crazy how fast this year has gone. And when we look back, January of this year, and now it's December of this year, it's so crazy, everybody. And I've been actively fighting for the wrongfully incarcerated, actively fighting against all types of injustices in this country. And I am still waiting to see the multitude of people fighting for the same causes. And this year, I have not seen a multitude. It's always the few, and the few is fine, but if we can get a multitude of people fighting for justice in America, we could get further much faster. So while we are thinking about this year ending, start thinking about what you're going to do in 2024, people. You know, get up, get off your behind, do something, be a voice. And for heaven's sakes, you know, make a commitment, donate to Be a Voice, you know, donate to Right the Wrong Coalition. We do a lot all throughout the year without any funding. I don't get government funding. I don't want to be controlled by them or anything else or dictated to who I can help and what I can do and all of that stuff. So we choose not to get government funding. Don't want to be in their pockets. Don't want to be their puppet. I've seen too many people fall prey to the government and become their little puppets. And, you know, that's not going to happen here. I will always be outspoken, and I will always fight for what's right. So with that being said, we definitely need your donations, people. You can donate a dollar, $5. Some people think that since they can't donate 100 or more, their donations are not important. Every dollar is important. So I don't care the amount you donate, just donate to help us continue our advocacy work to fight for the wrongfully incarcerated and all of the other injustices that we fight against. So donate. The Cash App is $ Be A Voice Tour. That's $ BVOICETOUR, Be A Voice Tour. Or you can donate Cash App, $ 407-272-7616. Again, that's 407-272-7616. Or you can donate via Venmo. The Venmo account is at Be A Voice. And if you want to donate via Zelle or via credit card or debit card, please call the office 844-642-8378. Again, that's 844-642-8378, extension 111 or 888, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Thought I'd just put that out there because usually when I start the show, I always forget to mention this during the middle of the show. So you guys hear it in the opening, and then you never hear it again because I always forget. So this time I'm not going to forget. Someone just texted me and said, please say it now. So I did, and hopefully I'll remember again midway through the program. But thank you so much for tuning in to News Forum, everybody. Wonderful show tonight. Before we bring on my first guest, who's going to be Emily Riley,
And then we also have Sheriff Rochelle Bilal tonight as well. So, but before I bring my guests on, we're going to listen to our wonderful Bob Marley with Get Up, Stand Up. Stand up for your rights, for heaven's sakes. It is your duty. Take a listen to Bob Marley.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up.
Preacher man, oh, tell me, heaven is on the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's the all that Jesus told. After the story had never been told, so now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your rights. Come on,
get up.
Thank you so much, Dr. O, for that wonderful track by the late, great Bob Marley. All right, everybody. So tonight we're talking planetary destruction. We're talking about planetary abuse, misuse, how we, oh, gosh, just misuse the resources on this planet, how things are tainted. We're going to talk about all kinds of stuff tonight, and we're going to talk about the importance of economics and all of that, and a lot of other things, what we need to do to correct the ills in this ill-fated planet that we live on, which is Earth. And then, of course, here in the United States of America, we just have so much corruption and so much going on. And we're going to talk about how the government plays the part in all of these things. We're going to talk about, of course, the FDA, the USDA, and all of that stuff. And what we're drinking, our water, our food. So we're going to be talking about a lot of things tonight. And my special guest, my dear friend, Emily Riley, and she is a very, very wonderful human being, and she cares about humanity. And I just love her so much because of what she stands for and what she believes in and all of that good stuff. And we're also going to hear tonight from a few wrongfully incarcerated men that are going to call in live from prison tonight, and they're listening now, as a matter of fact. And we're going to be hearing from them soon tonight, somewhere midway between the program. All right, but for now, I want to bring on Emily. And before I talk to Emily, I just want to make mention, you know, again, the website, everybody, that I keep telling you all to go on every day to check out the recalls that are going on in this country. And that is FDA.org. That is the Food and Drug Administration's website, FDA.org. And you can check out all of the things that have been recalled on a daily basis. Every day there's something recalled, beef, poultry, fish, you know, poultry, like chicken and all that stuff, fish, vegetables, fruits, and products, baby high chairs and baby cribs and everything. Lots of things are being recalled. And the baby food that was recalled, those little squeezable pouch things, those have been recalled. And now cantaloupe has been recalled, the chunks of cantaloupe that have been, you know, that have been sliced already and placed in containers at Trader Joe's and other places that you shop. I think Walmart, they're there. But go on that website and check it out. There's been a lot of deaths linked to that particular recall, which is very, very sad. So check out that website again, everybody, FDA.org. All right, let's bring on my special guest tonight, Emily Riley. How are you tonight, Emily? And welcome back to News Forum.
Hi, dear Chinchilla. I'm well. How are you? Can you hear me?
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. All right.
Awesome.
So Emily, before we start talking, just tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So actually, you know, by root, I would say I'm an educator. I started my career over 30 years ago as a science teacher in the state of Ohio, teaching for about 11 years in secondary science, chemistry, about four different levels over the course of those 11 years. And then I transitioned actually into corporate America. I kind of faced some of my own challenges in education, just kind of questioning what was happening in the system. By the 2000s, I was seeing such a change and a shift, a downgrade in my ability to actually be effective in the classroom. It became more and more about classroom management. And I also was alarmed at what I was learning as a science teacher on the emerging wave of wireless technology. And so long story short, I had a serendipitous opportunity to enter into corporate through a consulting engagement. And that led me to a variety of different opportunities in corporate across a range of different industry verticals. But most notably for this conversation tonight, I spent several years working for a couple of different food companies, both inside the companies as well as a consultant for the companies, supporting their innovation. So I had roles as an innovation leader, and I had roles in supply chain management, all kind of bundled up around product development, problem solving, and helping the scientists. Believe it or not, in food companies, there are actual roles called food technologists, people who work in labs tinkering on how to make the best processed food you could possibly imagine that will hit Wall Street and make innovation news. And then you have you know, different factions of people working in the supply chain for those companies. So anyway, I'm back in education now. I decided to leave corporate after 15 years and really just reevaluated myself after George Floyd was murdered in 2020, the winter of 2020. I sort of came to my senses about my real passions and desires and what impact I thought I could really make. And so in the turn of the new year of 2021, I quit my job in corporate. I gave them a leave notice and then left. And here I am. I had a year at a university teaching, actually building a curriculum around food systems. And so established a new Bachelor of Arts program at a university there kind of in your backyard, Chinchilla. And then now I'm actually speaking to you today from the Piscataway lands in Maryland, so I moved down to the Maryland, D.C. area, and today I'm actually teaching secondary high school again, and so here I am, and I'm just delighted to be with you, and I'm grateful that you invited me into this conversation.
Wow, that's awesome, Emily. That's absolutely awesome. Now, with the work that you've done, wow, you have a very extensive background, and, you know, I read your LinkedIn and all that stuff. I was really impressed by all the things that you've done, and, wow, the things that people have said about your work and all that as well. Very, very impressive. Now, with all that you do, you have a heart for mankind, and you want to see a better world. And let's talk about that, because one of the things that, you know, you talk about often is planetary abuse. And just explain to everybody, what do you define as planetary abuse?
Oh, yeah. Wow. There's a lot to, you know, dissect and unpack there. But in short, you know, planetary abuse, I think, is the outcome from a complete disconnection that people experience from nature. And it's not a criticism of people having a disconnect with nature. It's more of the outcome. And at mass scale, so there's the micro, which is our experience of not really understanding how we are a mirror with nature. So just like the sun and the earth, so currently I'm teaching astronomy, so sorry if I make a few metaphors to the universe, but in our solar system, you know, the sun is gracing as a gift and a friend to the earth the power of all of that energy, the solar energy that we're getting that actually makes our unique planet so unique as the third rock from the sun, the third planet. And it's not a rock, it's 70% water. And our planet is encased in an amazing atmosphere, 78% nitrogen and 21% oxygen. So as you breathe right now, as a living organism on this planet, you're taking in actually a bulk of nitrogen, but it's the oxygen that's passing through your lungs to give you the gift of life. And, you know, we are mirroring these natural processes. And the disease across our world is simply a reflection of the incredible disparity and pain our planet is in right now. And when we say save the planet, I fundamentally believe the planet will be fine. What we are doing is destroying our planet's ability to offer the gift of life to all living beings, and not just human beings, but all biodiversity on the planet. And we're doing this through what I have defined as really five root causes. And if I may just lean into that a little bit, it starts with economic centrism, which is, you know, you might say, well, that's obvious, right? It's all about money. Every decision is made about money, no matter where you go, even in nonprofits, even in education. Every decision is made about the economic budget. So you'd say, well, that's obvious. Well, if you layer that like an onion into the next layer of deep root causes, you see a manifestation of racism, discrimination, and bigotry that really is the defining principles undergirding all those economic decisions. And we can break that down if you'd like a little bit more in a minute. And then undergirding that is the misuse and abuse coming from the rot sort of manifestation of not really having any connection to nature. When we go into parks and we go into nature, we find such magic. And unfortunately, so many parks are gone. There's so few gardens left in our urban environments. And we could unpack that for days as well. And then undergirding that is reductionist thinking, the mechanistic reductionist thinking regarding how to control and manifest sort of the best possible option for society in a very narrow bandwidth of what's possible. And then undergirding all of that, I think fundamentally, and I'm so grateful that Chinchilla, we have such a well developed knowledge of one another in the sense that we both are in the spirit of doing our work for the betterment of humanity, is really a spiritual void, a spiritual vacancy. And so one of the things that has bound us together from the beginning is understanding that deeply with one another as individuals, as we've related, that there is a spiritual opportunity at hand right now in the global crises we're facing. When we see all of the wars, we see all of the actual output of what's coming from these root causes, I fundamentally believe that the only way, and you really drove this at the start of your radio show, is that the only way we're going to get at making significant, substantial, substantive change as a people is to start with our inner work. We have to build a spiritual capacity from within to make better decisions, to be more whole people, to be able to recognize ourselves in one another, people's suffering, and care, not just about our own individual needs, but rather see ourselves embedded in a collective and a community that we can contribute to in valuable ways. And when we come together and unite, the power of that, and I love that in the beginning of your show you talked about speed. You know, we talk in my faith life, which is rooted in a Buddhist practice, Nichiren Buddhism, we talk about expediency. You know, how can we convert and transform our own individual human revolution into action? What can we do from a place of our own internal peace and happiness that's derived through courage and compassion and wisdom to do what we do for social justice, to do what we do for change and being those change agents in the spheres of influence that we have as practitioners. And so Buddhism often is pegged as sort of like you just meditate and, you know, you're just a peaceful person and you might be weak, you might be soft. The fact of the matter is probably the strongest people I've ever had the opportunity to meet or know are people with such profound spiritual capacity that they have the ability to, through courage, take action in society. So that's a lot to unpack and share, but I just wanted to highlight those features. And there's a key person that I would be remiss if I didn't mention here. I want to make sure it comes out, because one of the things you've talked about, Chinchilla, from the onset of this show is, you know, rise up, you know, with Bob Marley, you know, stand up. And it's not just about rights, you know. It's not just about our rights. It's our responsibility to one another. Mm-hmm. I believe that we don't really have much in the way of entitlement here. It's a gift. And so it's really about responsibility to one another and responsibility to ensuring that our youth and our young people have a future. We're the adults. We got to kind of step into that and take our responsibility seriously. And so the person I wanted to bring up wrote a book, and several books, in fact, but as a core key person in my studies and the work that I've done based on the topic of this show that I'm contributing to here around planetary destruction and how it ties back to food and food inequities and people in general having inequities in our communities from low access to nutrient-dense whole food. And that would take, you know, days and weeks for us to unpack. I would love to talk about the supply chain and the details of all the things going on there. Because you talked about recall, Chinchilla, and FDA does much more than just recall. They approve ingredients that go in our process. Things like TSP, triphosphate, you know, is a binder, and it's an additive that is actually used in the construction and carpentry industry as a material that you use on drywall. But it's actually an ingredient approved by the FDA that goes into as a binder in many of our processed foods. So we could spend some time on that as well. But the person I wanted to bring up is Vandana Shiva, who out of her work over decades through her connections in India, her name is Dr. Vandana Shiva, wrote a book called Oneness Versus the 1%, Shattering Illusions, Seeding Freedom. And the reason I felt it necessary to bring her and her book up, this particular book, is because it ties to the very call out of the mass destruction underway by a technology machine that is really being driven by some of the most wealthiest, well, the wealthiest people in the world. And this is not a cry to condemn the wealth. It's a cry to call to action to say, what are you going to do? What are you going to do responsibly? And how can we, as the 99%, call you forward and get real? And one of the key players in all of that 1%, particularly in the United States, is Bill Gates, who, you know, with his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, puts on quite a manifestation of gifts and honoring communities with, you know, RFP, request for proposal, and grants, but at the same time, duplicitly, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's number one subsidiary is something called One Ag, standing for agriculture, and they're really working very hard at developing some of the worst and most destructive genetically modified organisms you can imagine, along with all of the perpetuation of additives to our soil that essentially kill all the microbes in the soil, under the guise that this will save us from starvation, that this will feed the 8.5, 9 billion, approaching 10 billion people, and that somehow that is the solution, even in the context of climate change. So I'll pause there because there's a lot to unpack, but I wanted to make sure that that book was at least mentioned in the show because it's so foundational and it covers a lot in terms of the interconnectivity between the disparity of, you know, food access and food availability in corner stores, bodegas, in the middle of our cities, where you literally cannot find anything but fast food or, you know, processed potato chips, food, down to the core of why. Why is that all kind of the fundamental reality that we're living in the United States of America? Why are the suburbs packed with these glorious grocery stores, you know, with all this whole nutrient-dense food, though the price point for organic is skyrocketing? We know that food prices overall due to inflation are skyrocketing. Even people with moderate incomes, you know, are having to make choices between nutrient-dense whole foods and their food budget. I mean, I can speak personally, you know, in my household, the number one bill I have above my utility is my food budget for the month because I refuse to eat, you know, really dangerous foods. I want to stay healthy. And so I'll pause there. What would you like to continue with and explore? Because we could go in any direction. It's up to you.
Okay. I definitely love the food angle. But so what I want to talk about tonight, I don't want to actually talk about the food chain yet because I'm going to do that in part two when I have you come back in 2 weeks for part two. We're going to get in really deep about the different ingredients that are in the processed foods in the inner city markets and the corner stores, the mom and pop stores, and the detriment that it does to the body. And then we're also going to talk about the water and all of that stuff as well. And, you know, the different things, the cause and effect and all of that. We're going to talk about because it's definitely needed, and with you working in that industry, yeah, we definitely have to hit on that because I often talk about the things wrong with our that's wrong with our foods and try to warn people about certain foods, especially with the bioengineered foods that's out there now and the GMOs and all that. So we're definitely going to talk about that in 2 weeks. But tonight I want to really concentrate on the economic side of things and some of the areas of that angle and the education, where we're lacking as far as reparations and regeneration. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about regeneration and reparation tonight. But before we get into those conversations, we have a caller. So let's take a caller right now, Em. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air. Okay, when you press 1, that means that you would like to speak. And so we're going to give you one last time. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Okay. All right, we will put that caller back on ice. All right, you still there, Emily?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. All right. So let's talk now. Let's talk about regeneration. How do we begin to regenerate this economy, regenerate the country, regenerate ourselves as human beings, because so many people have lost into humanity at this day and age. So how do we begin to, like, correct those things, Emily?
Wow, what a powerful question. Gosh, thank you. I think for me, it's recognizing that we have this infinite capacity within us, in each of us. Each person on this planet is of value and has a mission. There's a reason that you're even here. And it goes far beyond sort of the buzzwords in business or corporate culture or any organization you might function in, like what's my purpose, what's my why. It's much deeper than that, and it's really rooted in one's recognition of how powerful what I call doing your homework is. And I say this sometimes to my students, both and, you know, not just limited to the assignment I'm giving them, but that there's this other type of homework, which is, you know, journaling and doing things that really explore through a practice what is going on inside you. And, you know, I'll just read, if I may, something that really hit home years ago when I was reading a book about why, for example, religion matters. In fact, that's the title of the book, Why Religion Matters. And it's talking about science. And, of course, I'm a chemistry bio major with an MBA, and so I have a deep heart for science. But science is one lens, right? You can put other lenses on your perspectives and view the world through art, through music, through poetry, literature, through lots of different lenses. But in the science world, which we seem to be very enamored with in these days, you know, with all the technology and all of the science, it goes like this. The culprit is not science itself, but our misconstrual of it into the tunnel that serves as the presiding metaphor for what you might consider Plato's cave. If you've ever read, you know, some of the old texts, Plato's cave being one, it's about this idea that we see our shadow when we go inside, and that shouldn't scare us. You know, when seeing a shadow, mm-hmm. and that comes back to racism and bigotry and discrimination, and I'll make the tie here very, very quickly. When we recognize something in ourselves that we don't like, we have a better capacity to have compassion for when we see it in others versus projecting it onto somebody else. And in my view, racism, discrimination, bigotry, all the forms of hatred that we see so rampant right now in our society are all due to projection and due to actually a false sense of what you're actually interacting with, which is not the person right in front of you, but your projection onto them. And it has nothing to do with that person. And if we could break down the lesser self in doing that action by spending time doing our homework, meaning having a practice at home, I don't care, you know, I do care. I love Buddhism, but I also am respectful of other people's religions. Religion in Buddhism, we say, and Nichiren Buddhism, is that it has a responsibility to contribute to the creation of a better world. And if indeed that religion is not propagating a better world in its actions, then we need to take a great pause and look at the value of that religion. So please understand, Nichiren Buddhism and the Nichiren Buddhism that I practice in the Soka Gakkai organization is actually a lay organization based on a lot of different philosophical principles that came out of dating back to 4,000 years ago and Shakyamuni Buddha, but I won't go too far into the depths of that. But my point is that if we stopped and listened first, and this is really something that's powerful. I'm making a lot of connections. I hope it's okay. But when I see, you know, coming out of Atlanta at the King Center from Dr. Bernice King, the remaining daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., say, it starts with me, and that's the mantra going into the new year for the King Center. It's not about taking a selfie and self-propagating oneself and promoting oneself. The core of that phrase is that we have to first do our homework. We have to first start inside exploring and developing a spiritual capacity for courage, compassion, from which wisdom can come out. And through that journey, we better address our relations, not just in our family and friends, but in society. And so I'll just stop there. But I think what you're calling to right here is an incredible root cause, spiritual vacancy in our world, that must be addressed immediately. Religion is one means, one method, and certainly I'm a big proponent of the practice that I have selected after being raised Catholic for decades, you know, influenced by Catholicism and Christianity, and certainly nothing negative to say there other than, you know, for me it was more about what Buddhism brought to my life in terms of manifesting my human revolution.
Wow. 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 Okay. It's very interesting. Now, let's now talk a bit. The war is still going on, Emily, and it's such a sad situation. Now, as we look at what's happening in the Middle East, there's a lot that needs to be done there. This is a war that has been going on now for decades. And, you know, to me, it's more so a war on territory, a territorial war. And we see a lot of similarities. Not to the extreme of what we're seeing in the Middle East, but right here in the United States, we see different people fighting over different territories of this country and people that want to claim their turf and different things like that, which territorial wars... would you say that that has something to do with resources and economics in those particular areas people are looking
for? Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about that, Emily.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, if we just take what's going on right now in the Gaza region between Israel and the Palestinian conflict, and we look at it from the lens of decision making, to me, it's very apparent, given what I've read and learned, and still on a journey of learning. But I pause because the reality is decisions are being made on territory based in economic centrism, from my perspective, and that economic centrism is being funneled and fueled by a severe level of arrogance, a severe level of manipulation and control at the root, driven by the interconnectivity of our fossil fuel economy. Let's not mince words. There are resources for energy that drive this world. And the main and key resource right now funneling the energy that keeps us moving and our society afloat are the fossil fuels. And if we look at what is supporting Hamas and the terrorist organizations, most specifically Hamas in that region, we can see direct ties. And just by reading what's coming out of the State Department and reading the revelations that people who have observed and been in close to members of Hamas know, there are roots to all of this in terms of funding that tie back into regions within the Middle East. And if you look at what is bringing money into Hamas, it's a clear direct tie. What meaning governments? What meaning countries? What meaning countries are supplying the fossil fuel energy into Israel? And how are those directly tied back? There are links to all. And so if you, you know, what I do and spend time is really kind of making connections. I mean, one of the things that I built as a skill is kind of building, for lack of a better word, a concept map of how things tie back to each other. And it all goes back to what is fueling the stability of a region and its energy sources, in my view, and who is funding the terrorism that's coming into the region to establish trauma. And I just want to say, you know, there was a State Department out of Anthony Blinken's, State Department that really revealed quite a bit of economic funding from countries like Qatar that are, you know, fueling money into Hamas. And I say that knowing that even me saying that, though it feels like maybe that should be publicly known, maybe it's not. You know, maybe those details, because we're so busy, many people work 2-3 jobs. You know, most ordinary people, and I consider myself an ordinary person, you know, I have the ability to maybe spend more time reading and digging into these things because, you know, I don't have full families. I'm not feeding children right now in my own home household. But I don't know how apparent that is to everybody, that there are actual funding economics driving the terrorist organization that's really fueling the ongoing trauma and mass murder taking place in that region. And it connects back to decades of buildup of this terrorist regime.
Wow, that's very interesting, very interesting. Now, with what's going on, okay, so you're talking about other countries that are funding Hamas. Now, what do you think with all of the killings that are happening now? Because I think now there's over, there's close to 20,000. I guess there is over 20,000 deaths now. In Palestine, and Israel, their death toll is much, much lower. And with all of the other countries now that are starting to get involved, do you see a possibility of this maybe turn it into a World War III?
Well, I certainly don't feel like I'm close enough to make any prediction like that. I do think that the more the public and our people are able to focus their source of news and their source of legitimate sources of news, because there's just so much pseudo fake news, there's so much false message and narrative twisting and distorting the politics in all of this, that it gets so noisy that, you know, I have a lot of empathy for you know, the confusion that exists outside of that region in terms of what is really going on. So I do have a lot of empathy for that. We know that, you know, over 80, I think it is now, journalists have actually been murdered in the region trying to legitimately hurt the news. And then on top of that, you have you know, just this ongoing slaughter of the Palestinians in the name of the sanctity of preservation for Israel, of which, you know, I also have a great deal of empathy for all Israelis and what they went through on the October 7th attack. At the same time, it's a both and. We don't live in an either-or world. First and foremost, we have to break our mental model either-or. The world is complex. You can't boil it up into 144 or whatever we are now, 10-bit sound bites. You just cannot. We have to have genuine dialogue. We have to have genuine journalism. And we have to actually slow down. we have to slow down as a world, as a culture, and be present to understand the deep complexities, to start deconstructing these things into make it so that it is palatable and understandable. And my empathy is just so grand for understanding how so many people are confused about what's going on. And I can understand why. There's so much noise. I don't watch TV. I don't watch any kind of news feeds other than select news feeds that now are my primary sources of legitimate journalism now in my older age. Democracy Now! Is live streaming every day. democracynow.org is a great source for legitimate journalism. You know, I'll just call that one out, for example. You know, I don't watch a lot of these talking heads because they're putting an overlay on top of and their own emotion on top of the actual reporting of what's going on in the region, on the ground, and the connectivity back to legitimate experts who understand. I mean, I'm not somebody who studied the Middle East for a career. There are experts out there. You know, there are people who have degrees in understanding this 70, 80-year crisis of territorial land in that region and understand the dimension of what's happened over these decades, all tied, again, back to now what is driven by economic centrism based in a fossil fuel economy for energy stability. I mean, that's just punto period. I mean, there is no other way to slice it now with the decisions that are being made. And many countries are in a stranglehold by the complexities of those dependencies we have in our globalized world. We are global now. We are global. Anyone, and this comes back circle to people who claim as these billionaire leaders that we're going to have free energy independence in the United States. For example, let's just launch into nuclear energy. We got it now. We know how to do it. We can do fission safely, whatever. You know, the point is that's not rational. That's not feasible. And lastly, we shouldn't be fissioning, you know, heavy radioactive material that has a life. We have to think in a 360 economy in the terms of the environment. What do you do with all of the radioactive material when you're done spending it producing energy? Because there is, after those isotopes decay, you know, radioactive material, there's byproduct. Once you're done, then you have to deal with the isotopes that result from that. And what do you do with them? Now, that's, of course, granted that there's no another Chernobyl or something like that. So that's just one example where we have to realize we're global. We're globally interdependent. Every facet of the United States, I'll just give you a stat, for example. Over 60, and I think it's probably higher now, over 60% of our food sourcing in this country comes from somewhere else outside of our country. You know, you might work for a food company that has a headquarters in the United States, but the resources going into that processed food, and maybe you work for a food company that delivers, you know, whole nutrient-dense produce, you're still bringing in food from Ecuador, you're bringing in food from Honduras, you're bringing in food from Mexico. You're not, you know, let's be real. So we are importing our lifestyle into the United States, and that is true for most industrialized nations, and so we're all interdependent, we're all connected. And we have to first and foremost understand that, and that at the root of the decisions is economics and economic stability. That's just reality.
Wow. Yes. Wow. That's some good stuff. All right. We're going to pause here for a moment. We're going to have a track now by our International Internet Radio Hall of Fame DJ and Strinee, Dr. Olasky. And then after that, M's still going to be on, everybody. And if you want to ask her any questions, if you're tuned in tonight via the World Wide Web, you must dial 516-453-9133 and press 1. Again, 516-453-9133 and press 1. If you're already on the call tonight and would like to talk live on the air, press 1. All right. And right after the track, we're going to bring on Sheriff Rochelle Bilal. And Emily will still be on as well. And we're going to talk back to Emily a little bit later in the show. So right now, here's a track by DJ Legend, Dr. O.
The Drum Major Instinct.
I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I for little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. We will be able to speed up that day when all of us children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last.
Feel it in the air, the wind is dead. Protestants and Catholics will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual.
Thank you so much for that wonderful track, Dr. O by Michael Jackson. And, hey, can you feel it, everybody? Can you feel it? And what you need to be feeling right now is an urgency to stand up for what's right and begin to fight for justice in this country. All right. My next guest tonight is a wonderful, wonderful woman, who just happens to be the sheriff of Philadelphia, everybody. She is the first female sheriff here in Philadelphia. And wow, what can I say about this lady? There's so much that you all don't know about Sheriff Bilal. A lot of people just look at her as being the sheriff, a former police veteran for 27 years. But a lot of you don't know, like, you know, her background. Like, you know, she's not just a sheriff. She's an advocate. She's an activist. She fights for criminal justice reform. And prior to becoming a police officer and all that stuff, she was already an activist out there fighting for the rights of people, okay, and fighting against injustice. And now that she is the sheriff of Philadelphia, she does more than just sheriff sales and foreclosures and all of that, where a lot of people look at that being the only thing that the sheriff does or that the sheriff office does. But it's much more to it than that for Sheriff Rochelle Bilal. So let's welcome her to the show tonight, everybody. She was the former NAACP secretary and also the former president of the Guardian Civic League, 27-year police veteran, and again, she is a warrior of justice for change and for criminal justice reform and a social justice advocate as well. Welcome tonight, Sheriff, Madam Sheriff Rochelle Bilal. How are you? And welcome back to News Forum.
Good evening. Good evening. First of all, thank you so much. And thank you for being patient. I was trying to get on here, but my phone just didn't get any reception where I was. So I had to move from that location. So thank you so much. I appreciate the introduction. I do appreciate coming on your show. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much for coming back. I am so excited that, you know, you won your reelection. And
yes.
So you will be serving. Yes. You'll be serving us as the sheriff of the city for another 4 years. So I am so happy. Now, tell everybody, I want to talk about your background because, like I said, so many people don't know, like, you know, your history and how you have been out, you know, on the front lines fighting for justice, you know, prior to all of this. So let's talk about that for a moment. Share some of your background with our listeners tonight, Sheriff Bilal.
So I'll be glad to. First, I'm born and raised here in Philadelphia. I'm a child out of North Philadelphia, was where I was. Matter of fact, I was born in a home right off of what used to be Columbia Avenue, that's now Susan B. Moore, in the home. I'm out of my mother's side of the children, seven, and my father's side of the children, seven, was 14 altogether. I'm the only one that was born in the house. Can take that one.
Wow.
We grew up in North Philly, elementary school, John Welch, junior high school, West Philadelphia, and another University City in reference to high schools. Being in Philadelphia, just child of the city, people ask, how did you get to become a police officer? Let me just say this. When I grew up, I did not like cops. I saw what they did in the community to black men, and I was not a fan of any police officers. And so my girlfriend's, I think the Guardian Civic League came around during the time where they had filed a lawsuit against the city to hire people that looked like me. And they had a consent decree. So they went out and they came around to recruit us to be police officers. And they was persistent in doing so. My two girlfriends joined the police department first. I didn't. I still didn't like cops. And so I was working for the post office, and at that time, my mother thought the post office was a good government job. I kind of called it the plantation, because if anybody ever worked inside the post office, you would have known. I kind of called it the plantation. And so they came around at that time, and my girlfriends joined, and they was trying to convince me to join. You need to join. You need to join. And so they gave what you could, something you couldn't walk away with. They said, you join the police department, you can retire at age 45 if you have 20 years in. The post office said, you can't retire until you're at 65. So you do the math. I kind of ran out of there and joined the police department. But immediately saw that there was an issue pertaining to people who looked like me. Not only on the streets of Philadelphia, but inside the police department. And so that's when I joined the Guardian Civic League. I kind of graduated and went down to the Guardian Civic League and became a member. Because the one thing that I was not going to do or be was another just police officer. My ability to make sure that things were fair and make sure everybody was treated fair, that's what I was going to do. So I joined the Guardian Civic League and started advocating. You're just not going to treat my people like this. You're just not going to treat us black officers like this. And just went to battle and for what is right. Fair treatment across the board. It shouldn't matter what color you are, what race you are, what sex you are, what's your sexual orientation. You should be treated fairly across the board. And so that's what I became about in my whole life. I was on my own since I was 16. I left home at 16 and thought I knew everything, like most 16-year-olds do think that, and got into figuring out how to live life, how to navigate this life that I had to live. And I went through some rough patches. Trust me, I could have been anything. I mean anything, because that's the life that was around me. But I chose to keep my head moving straight. I had to figure out how to live. I had to figure out how to pay bills. I had to figure out how to keep away from people who just was not real. I had to figure out those people that was fake versus those that was real. I mean, at 16, you don't know. And you don't have a mentor showing you. So at this point, you got to figure it out on yourself. And so that's what I did to my mature life, where those bumps and bruises that I got when I was young basically forged me forward as to the person I am today. I'm real. I'm going to be me. I'm not going to change. This is a girl that ran for an elected position. I'm not a politician. I just happened to run, an activist that happened to run for an elected position. Stay in the box. Some people, well, you're the sheriff. You're only supposed to do this. No. No, you're not. This is a platform that I'm going to do my job as the sheriff of the city, but I'm also going to reach out to the communities, and if there's any way that I can help and I see a need to do something, then that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
That's me in a nutshell.
Yes, that's so awesome. Now let's talk about the sheriff's office now. So when you took office in 2020, now I know the office was like a mess, okay, and you did a lot of cleaning up in that office and making that office an office of integrity. So let's talk about that.
So coming into an office in elected position sometimes, and it's not all the time, sometimes when you win an election, the person that lost is mad, and they'll walk out of that position and don't even leave a paperclip, literally. So now you have to basically figure out what makes the office ticks what are the things that need to be upgraded? What are the things that need to be changed? And so my people came in and analyzed each department of the sheriff office, because you get no training from nowhere. You get no training from city council. You get no training from the city. You may get some ethics training, but that's about it. And so we analyzed every department within the city. And by analyzing, finding out what it is that the sheriff can and cannot do, what it is that my officers, the deputy sheriffs, needed. Because when I came in, they were telling me about their bulletproof vests. These are law enforcement professionals. And that they had to go into a warehouse and they say, pick one. The ones that people threw away that was used for a bulletproof vest for them. And I said, that was unacceptable. If they're law enforcement professionals, and as you can see, when the civil unrest, everybody was outside. And you wanted me to put my people out there with the equipment that was just raggedy. And so we needed to update that equipment. They had no shields. We needed to purchase those. And when I walked into the office, they had computers that had, you remember them old computers that had them big old backs to them?
Oh, yeah.
In 2020. My grandbaby and my little nieces and nephews got a flat screen. How can you be an organization that has outdated equipment, but yet you want them to do so much? And so we started the process of updating all the equipment, updating policy and procedures, making sure the officers got the equipment that they need to operate off of, and begin to hire people of specialties. You can't bring a person in there if they have no accounting experience and put them in an accounting department. You can't bring a person in there that has no IT experience and call them the deputy of IT. That means your technical department. I needed to bring lawyers in. The way they was coming at the office, I needed to make sure legally the things that we can do that we can do. And so those are the things that we sort of like made the changes, updated technology so people can now, instead of being in person, and the pandemic pushed us that way, and you can go online if you're looking at real estate, but also making it fair online that those that used to come in the city and try to manipulate the system can't do that anymore. There's rules and regulations. Because of my position, I can make those rules and regulations. And so they got mad when I did. You can no longer just manipulate the system. You can't intimidate people that used to come in person. You can't get with your buddies and look at a person and outbid them. And you can't bid on something and don't close on the deal and try to come back 2 years later and say, now I want it. No, none of those things you can do anymore.
Wow, wow, wow. Now, with all the changes that you've made, I know, like, you, like, rattled a lot of feathers and all that stuff. And so, what was it, last year, they, you know, tried to put out information about, oh, you were stealing money and doing this and doing that because of the wonderful work that you've done in that office. And, you know, they wanted to get rid of you. So let's talk about that, because we know how, you know, corrupt our government is, corrupt, you know, even the city officials, some of them, you know, half of them or more than half of them are corrupt. But a lot of people wanted to see you out of that office. They didn't want to see a black woman running that office, and especially the way you have changed it and made it better because you work with the community, you engage the community. So you do a lot of things that was unheard of for a sheriff's office to do, but it's for the betterment of our community. So let's talk about that. How did that feel? And I know it was shocking to you when they came out with this story that they put out, and then they tried to rerun it again recently and all that stuff. Of course, because you were up for re-election. So let's talk about that and, you know, how you beat that stuff and, you know, that bunch of hogwash. So let's talk about that, Sheriff Bilal.
So when you are coming into an institution, some people you don't know, and they don't know you, and begin to make up stuff that says, I don't know where they got most of these stories from, because what we decided to do was, because inside, when you make changes inside, you're going to have some disgruntled employees. And then they could put out stuff to people, and I guess they assumed that it was true. When I initially started talking to the media, what I saw was they would twist what I said around to fit their agenda. So at this point, I had no more conversations with certain media outlets. I said, you will send questions. We will put your full questions on our website, and we will put our full answers to your question on our website. And that's how we will respond to you. They're not going to respond to you anymore, because instead of writing what we say totally, you try to twist it to fit their narrative. And we just wasn't doing that anymore. So, and some people have an agenda when they come into the office. Because first of all, they didn't know I was going to win. Who knew but God? And so when I did win, they saw it as a place that they could begin to push their agenda. And once I saw that that's what they were attempting to do and not do the job that they was hired to do, then they was fired. And so then they go to the city and they sue and make up whatever they want to make up. And instead of the city law department fighting it, they settle with them. Not that we did anything, but they settle. And the city law department settles a lot of things instead of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't say that we did anything. It just says that they sued because of whatever reason they call themselves having. But look, they out of my office. They can no longer disrupt or try to put their agenda across. I say, good riddance. Let them be gone. And when they put out trying to say that anybody steals money, see, that's the buzzword. People who don't want you there, who don't have their hands in your pocket to manipulate you or dictate how you do anything, it's going to make up anything. And the one thing they attempt to use is these buzzwords. Oh, she's stealing. Tell me how. How can I physically steal money from the sheriff's office? If I was doing that, I'd be in jail. So you could tell you right then and there that was a lie. You had the controller office, which I thought was really crazy, because when we came in the office, the controller office came in and they did an audit of the office. Well, the armory. But they were doing an audit of the office, but we needed them to do the audit of the armory. To me, as a law enforcement professional, that armory was a wreck. There's no way you are supposed to store or keep guns in that manner. And so we immediately began to clean it up. The controllers did an audit on what they saw that was there. We did another audit behind them with the same thing that they had. And they say, oh, it's missing guns. I say, I don't even know how you can say there's missing guns, because most of the paperwork there, you could barely read or understand it. And so they can assume that was missing guns. We can presume that it's not missing guns. And so we did an audit, and we gave them 100 of what we did and what we came up with. And yet they begin, this person in the controller's office just decided that I'm going to give this to y'all the same day I give it to the media. And I'm like, and you didn't talk to us. You didn't come back and say, okay, why did y'all come up with this? Why did y'all think it's this way? Why? Nothing. And so that was intentional, because it was right before the election that you're going to do this. Right before the election, these are the things you come up with to try to target somebody's character. And basically they were wrong, because we put all of that. We put our 159 page up on our website. We put the pictures of what the armory was prior to me coming in there and the picture of what it is today. And the technology that's been added, so everything is accounted for in that armory. And changes, the controller can give suggestions. Can't demand nothing, but can give suggestions. And some of the suggestions we have put in place, and we continue to put them in place. So, you know, when you are trying to do the job to clean up something. I think people voted me in there to make some major changes. Some people are going to get mad and upset, but, you know, they have their own opinion, and they can get mad and upset, and, you know, at some point they will have to get over, and if they don't, we're going to keep moving forward. We're not looking back at what the past was. We're going to keep moving the office forward. I'm going to still reach out to the community because most people didn't even know what the sheriff's office did, and it's our job to inform and educate people on what our office does instead of somebody making up something about what we do or what we don't do. And if I see the need to use this platform to help people in the community, then that's what we're going to do.
Yes, yes, definitely. Wow. Now, you have been out, I know, a few times during the Operation Hug the Block. You've been out there patrolling with Philly Truth and Jamal Johnson and the rest of the crew during the Operation Hug the Block nights, 77 nights where they were patrolling the 77 most dangerous streets in Philly. And with that being said, you had your deputies out quite a few nights, a lot of those nights your deputies were out making sure everybody stayed safe and all. And there was not a turnout like that was expected from our city officials. But the night that you were out there, let's talk about that. How do you think that Operation Hug the Block went? And what about, I guess, maybe things that we could do similar to that or other avenues we can take as a city, as a people, as a community to make our block safe?
Well, the Philly Truth and Jamal Johnson and Hug the Block, to me, is the community taking charge of their community, that they have to be the eyes and ears on what's going on.
Yes.
They cannot have anybody intimidate them. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. They can't let anybody intimidate them. They can't let people fear them and just staying in a house. And so if you come together as a group and you get law enforcement to support you while you patrol your own neighborhoods, like Town Watch or Hug the Block, to come out during those times so people can come out of their house and feel safe. I thought it's a good program. I think if they work it out properly like they're trying to do, and they get the community to buy in and come out and patrol their neighborhoods, and so they can be the eyes and ears on what goes on in their neighborhood. So I think we had a really good time out there with the Truth. And talking to people about coming out, they was like, we glad y'all out here. They was shooting. We glad, because a lot of places where we were, there was no shootings there while they was out there at night.
Right, right.
See, if you're going to do something at nighttime, you're going to make sure that nobody's around. So if people are around and outside, sometimes you most likely is not going to do that. But the dangerous criminals, they do whatever they want to do. But those that pretending like they're criminals, they're not going to just walk up and start shooting people if other people are outside. And so it's a deterrent. And we need deterrence in our neighborhoods. We need people to stop them from coming in our neighborhoods and just trying to tear up everything. We need that.
Yeah.
And so I enjoyed my time out there with them. And we're working with Philly Truth to try to make it permanent in some of these neighborhoods. And so we just hope that we can.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I definitely appreciate.
You still there?
All right. Yes. I don't know what's going on with the fizzle. Okay, there. All right.
Sorry, I had muted myself. All of your, you know, I really appreciate you being out there, Sheriff, and your deputies that were there, and you know, they all seemed to be interested in what we were doing, and it was nice. And I just want to see more of that and more community involvement in that. And I'm definitely going to have you back on the show again because we have more to talk about and more that the city of Philadelphia need to know about you and your office and, you know, how you're there as a pillar in this in this city and, you know, as a place that they can go to feel safe for public safety. So we'll talk about that the next time I have you on. We'll talk about public safety and all of that stuff. But we're going to take another caller and just stay right there, Sheriff, and stay right there also, Emily. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm doing excellent. How you doing, woman of God?
I am fine. How are you, Brother Hooney?
I'm excellent. It makes me proud that we have one of us or someone who looks like us in a position of power,
yes.
You know, one of the most prestigious positions of power. So I just want to say thank you for that. I'm a proud advocate of us doing something for ourselves and each other. That's one thing that we got away from. And I know there's many times that we have tried, but to me, we was at our apex long before the integration. Why? Because at that point in time, we had no other choice but to say, I am all for people getting along and all that. But my question is, to what extent? If you really, really look at it, after all of these years, these issues such as police brutality and all the things that's happening in our neighborhood, it definitely has been one-sided, okay, for way too long. And anyway, I know the show is coming down to a wind, so I just want to say thank you. I'm also host of this great WBNN network. I'll be coming on Thursday where I'll be speaking about a reason and a time to heal. I'm not for people going out just simply doing any and everything, especially when it pertains to us. But this one here is about saving our children at any and all costs. Unapologetic, no excuse. There's certain things I'm going to be speaking about, so you definitely don't want to miss that. Coming up Thursday at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, Brother Hooney. Thank you so much, everybody. That was Brother Hooney. His show is We Will Aware You. So tune in this coming Thursday, 9:30 p.m. to his show. All right, we're going to bring Emily back on for her final remarks tonight and in closing. And we're going to definitely have Emily back on again because we're going to have part two of our conversation on planetary destruction. And we're going to talk about on part two, we're going to be talking about the food industry. And we're going to do a lot of concentration on that, everybody, because you need to be aware of what you're putting into your bodies and how it is affecting you mentally and emotionally as well, okay? Not just physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. So, Emily, in closing, what would you like to say tonight? And I thank you so much for being my guest.
Well, it's my pleasure, and it's a real honor. So thank you for having me. I think probably the one thing that we didn't touch on, and I hope we'll get more into it when you bring me back, was the reparations piece. And I would just like to say, you know, Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote an article years ago in The Atlantic called A Case for Reparations. And it's emerging now more and more, the discussions of, you know, this debate. And I just wanted to highlight one thing that I recently came across in addition to reading his work, which is profound, out of Baltimore. You know, Mr. Coates is a prolific writer who wrote also Between the World and Me, which is an amazing book, A Letter to His Son. But anyway, I came across this organization called Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility, Interfaith Center on Corporate Responsibility. And the latest, you know, thing that I'd like to share about reparations that I thought was very intriguing that they published was that, you know, with this incredible, enormous gap between CEO pay, you know, the knowledge worker, you know, professional at the higher levels of executive salary down to, you know, the minimum wage, which in some areas is still under $10 an hour. So we've got people making minimum wage at $7.50 an hour. still in this country, you know, doing the actual productivity work of either service or product product output in any of the remaining manufacturing plants that we still have in this country, to make those big corporate gaps what they are. And here it is. People, argue about GDP, gross domestic product, as a way to articulate the health of an economy of a nation. And here's the statement. Gender and racial gaps created in the U.S. a $2.6 trillion loss in the U.S. GDP in 2019. While eliminating racial disparity would add up to $5 trillion in the nation's economy in just 5 years. So when you start talking to experts, and I'm not one in economics, I don't mean you, Dr. Chinchilla, but I mean we start opening our minds and eyes up to the people who have done the computation on these things, and we talk about the health and wellness of a nation more broadly beyond GDP, but inclusive of GDP, we see that through reparations, we have an opportunity to not just heal in this country from a way of true authenticity, but it always goes back to the beginning. And I will wrap by saying this, predating 1619 and 400 years of what we now have in the form of Jim Crow law racism dating back to slavery, we had a mass genocide in the Americas. Upon the arrival of the Spaniards and Italian, conquistadors, so forth, that took over the land. And so when we think about reparations, we have to be inclusive of the BIPOC, inclusivity. When we say inclusion, by the way, I just want to end with this. Inclusion is not training in our organizations. Inclusion is action. And that's why I love you, Dr. Chinchilla, and all the work that you're doing, because you're taking action. And I'm so just enormously grateful that you've invited me on, and I look forward to future discussions with you on your show you said would be an opportunity. So thank you so much. I just wanted to highlight that stat on GDP, but also put it in context to a holistic way of thinking about the health of a nation. And we can get into that in more detail when we talk about the connectivity of food to
Yes. Thank you so much, Emily, for that. And we will have Emily back again, everybody. She's going to be back in 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about the reparations and about the food and all of that. So thank you so much, Emily. Now, in closing, Sheriff Bilal, what would you like to say tonight in closing? And thank you for being a guest as well tonight.
Thank you so much. In closing, the Sheriff's Office moving forward will continue to educate our community on what it does. And just to make sure, we have to do our job, but we also want to show people that if you ever get in situations where there's a mortgage foreclosure or a tax lien sale that the court orders to put up for sale, there are programs out there to help you keep your home. You can always call our office or go to phillysheriff.com, and there's a pamphlet of state, local, and federal information on how you can save your homes. When you get in those situations, all you need to do is reach out. We're going to continue to move forward on that and bring technology in to help those people that go through things like this. And if you can't keep a hold of your home, what you want is the most people to bid on it so you can get the excess proceeds. This is the other thing. If your property goes up for sale and there's excess proceeds, you don't have to pay nobody no money to get those excess proceeds because that money is due to that person or that family. We don't charge. Just contact our office, and we will have you fill out the paperwork, and if there's excess proceeds, we call it HART, Home Asset Recovery Team. Those funds go to you. You don't have to pay no lawyer that will charge you 33% of your money. The sheriff's office don't charge you any. Just contact our office and fill out the paperwork, and if there's excess proceeds that you can get from that sale, you will get that money in its entirety and not take anybody take up a piece of it at all. And so we're trying to get that out to people that if you do go through that, just contact the office. We don't charge you for that. It's paperwork you have to fill out. And we don't charge you for that at all.
Wow.
Just
and
go
to
phillysheriff.com. They can go to phillysheriff.com, look on our website, our one-year report, three-year report. Any questions that was asked, we gave all that information. It's all on our website. We put everything on there to be transparent on everything that we do.
Wow. That's amazing. That is awesome. Keep up the great work, Madam Sheriff. And I am just so happy, again, that you won the reelection and you have an opportunity to do even more for our communities here in the city of Philadelphia. So thank you so much for what you do and for what your deputies do. And now at this time, everybody, we're going to go into Ngozi time. And right after that, I will be right back to tell you all about next week and also to tell you about what's going on this upcoming week as far as events. And I will have my final remarks. But right now, Ngozi time, so don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there because I will be right back after this.
Now, of course, you know, there will be no news forum next week because, you know, I'll be away. But we will have News Forum on the 24th or that Saturday, the 23rd. So, you know, so that is what it is. And, of course, I just want to say to everyone out there, what the work that Dr. J does on a constant basis, you know, this support Right the Wrong Coalition and Mike Tetz. And so, of course, at the end of the show, of course, we're going to tell you how to donate. Tomorrow night, we come back on this outstanding network with, of course, me and Dr. J again. She goes as Princess C. And, of course, I go as, you know, always, D.J. Olasky. And a very special guest tomorrow night, the 2023 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcaster nominee, Ms. Ansa Thomas Smith. And she'll be on tomorrow night with the legendary Merc City Hip Hop program, 9:30 Eastern. Standard time right here on the one and only Beverly Nation. And of course, WBNN has advertised between Ngozi Time Multimedia, Pinterest, Google, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter. All of the other language goes to your Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, I want for program tonight, Ole Day Lay, that goes to my at gmail.com. I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ole Day Lay, where goes to the good doctor saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in our force radio that support us on a constant basis. And I know a lot of people love me to play my music before Ngozi Time. We don't have time for that tonight. I want to make sure that Dr. J gets on here and say her final thoughts before we get out of here at 28. And now back to our fifth reigning commissioner, the 2021 WBNN Linear New Host of the Year and the 2022 overall Host of the Year, the Anna Waddell Award recipient, Dr. Chichella J.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. O. Again, thank you to Emily Riley and Sheriff Rochelle Bilal, my special guest tonight. And I just want Emily, let's see, it was a few comments for you. One from Ava Holly, she said she enjoyed everything that you said tonight. And from Narcissa as well, she liked what you said and talked about. And they also commented on you as well, Sheriff. Narcissa said she loves the work that you're doing, and she talks about, you know, a lot of things that you said and in agreement with everything that you said and how you're running your office. And then there are other comments as well from people that listen tonight. So thank you all for your comments. And definitely, people, make sure that you decide to be a voice and that you decide to get up and stand up for your rights and for the rights of others and fight against injustices in America and stand up in your communities. You heard Sheriff Bilal say that, you know, it takes the community, people in the community to come together and to decide that you're tired of violence in your community and that you're going to stand up for what's right, and that's to come out of your homes and stop being afraid and patrol your blocks. That Operation Hug the Block was a good thing. And were there enough residents in those communities coming out? No. Should they have? Yes. Because people, listen, if you're on the street and there's constant violence, and you just sit and sit and pray and hope that the violence stops, but yet you won't do anything to make it stop. And there's power in numbers, okay? If there is a male presence in these communities, guess what? Things will change. And there's a lot of men that live in all these communities, but where are they? Where is their faith? Where are they? Why aren't they out on their own streets, patrolling their neighborhoods to keep the women and children safe, okay? We have to do better, okay? Men, you have to do better. And I'm calling on you as we go into a new year to do better, to step up to the plate and take back your communities, take charge of your communities, take charge of your households and everything else, and do what's right. So we want to see a better 2024, everybody. And wow, again, don't forget, everybody, next week will be a vacation week for Dr. O. He has not taken a vacation. He has not missed a show in all of these years, everybody. So that's incredible. We've celebrated 10 years of ONE back in February. So this upcoming February will be 11 years. And guess what? In 10 whole years that he has not taken a day off. And so he's taken time off to himself and for himself, which is a good thing. So News Forum will be back on the 24th, which is Christmas Eve. And I can't wait, because we have a wonderful show in store for you on that night. And tune in to Mike and IC Test, T-E-S-T, Entertainment TV's Facebook page, everybody. Check it out. Check out the Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls. Check out Nightmares from Behind Prison Walls. And also, check out Meet the Host. And with Meet the Host, guess what? Make sure you guys tune in this Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Meet the Host with special guest Genesis Amaris Kemp, who is a host on this network as well, her show, Gems. So you'll get to meet Genesis up close and personal on Friday on Mike MIC Test Entertainment TV's Facebook page for Meet the Host. All right, I am Dr. Chinchilla Jonesia. You're going to listen again how you can donate to be a voice and how you can be a guest on News Forum. I'm Dr. Chinchilla J, everybody. Oh, before I forget, wow, on Tuesday, December 5th, everybody, I became a great-grandmother. Go figure that. So I'm now an official great-grandmother, y'all, with my first great-grandchild, my grandson, Theo. And I love him. Oh, my God, I can't wait to see him. So I'm a great-grandmother, y'all. All right, this is Dr. Chinchilla J, everybody. Remember to always be a voice on purpose. Good night, everybody.
Ain't no good night. Boy, we right at the very, 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 very end. We want to congratulate, 2022 WBNN Anna Waddell Award recipient, Miss Chinchilla J, on her 101st all-time connection record and third consecutive with the Darlene Lawrence Championship, honoring our late great Hall of Famer. I'm telling you, right at the bell right there. So congratulations, Dr. J. And great championship performances. All right, bye, Jay. Bye, y'all. And let Dr. J talk to us. And Dr. J, you're off the phone.
If you would like to be a guest on News Forum and have a case of injustice, please give me a call Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. at 844-642-8378 to tell me about your story. And you might just be News Forum's next special guest. Money talks, so put your money where your mouth is. Be a voice today by donating to Be a Voice. Cash App, $, Be a Voice Tour. That's $, BEAVOICETOUR, Be A Voice Tour, or donate via Venmo at Be A Voice. If you would like to donate via credit card, you must call the Be A Voice office at 844-642-8378, extension 111. Again, 844-642-8378, extension 111. Be A Voice today.